people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace. For the throne of David and his kingdom, he will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this day onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those he favors."
Please stand.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart.
This October, I went home to Napanee, Ontario, to celebrate my stepmother's 90th birthday. As with all birthdays, it wasn't her actual birthday that we were celebrating. We didn't tell stories about how she came to be, or where and how she was born, or how her parents got there. We gathered to mark the number of birthdays she had celebrated. That is the life she had led between her birthday and that day that she had turned 90. So it is with our celebration of Christmas. While we always tell the story of Jesus' birth through the scriptures and marvel at the novelty of it all, the Annunciation to Mary, Joseph's dream, the journey to Bethlehem, and all the curious characters that we encounter, the birth itself was not all that remarkable. After all, babies are born in barns, in cars, in fields, in hospitals, and in homes, still today. They're born to refugees and rebels, the oppressed and the depressed, the addict and the affluent, still today. If we just leave Jesus as a baby, we can have a lovely and joyful celebration for that baby. It becomes a fun and festive day to take a holiday and party and spend time with friends and family and give and receive gifts, which is all wonderful. But it's not Christ Mass. Because what we have come to celebrate is more than that. What we come to celebrate today is what is that the child who grew to be the one we call Savior, teacher, leader, and friend has accomplished so much in the years since his birth. And perhaps we will look forward to the future and what he will do. I have a question for you tonight. How many had a birthday this year? Of course, everybody. Well, maybe in the next few days, people are going to have a birthday. But in this year, everybody's had a birthday. Have you ever considered that your birthday, my birthday, everybody's birthday, is marked in relation to Christ's birth? Everybody's birthday. That the calendar we use was started in relation to when Christ was born. So our birthdays are marked by his birthday. His birth was significant enough to somehow reset time as we know it. This past Tuesday night, in the middle of a snowstorm, a small group of us ventured out to deliver 35 bags of cookies to people in the community, to people who serve us here in town on a daily basis, with varying responses by the folks. Some responded with surprise and delight and happiness. Some were kind of puzzled by what we were doing. A few didn't seem too keen on our generosity of spirit or our cheery Merry Christmases. One response, however, stuck with me. When handed the cookies and hailed with a hearty Merry Christmas, he responded with, "Merry Birthmas." Now, initially, I thought this was an attempt at taking Christ out of Christmas, and perhaps it was. Yet he was more correct than most of us will acknowledge. Most of the time, the world, and Christians included, are celebrating the birth of the baby Jesus, not his life and all that his life has been since his birth. We read the stories of his birth today or tomorrow and then stop there. That's what Christmas is. Yet we need to celebrate so much more. What we really celebrate is the recognition of God at work in the world through Christ still today. This is the nature of incarnation, God in flesh, acting in and through the material world. And the mysterious, even miraculous side of the story is that God never left. God is still at work in the world through us, God in flesh. Perhaps at Christmas, we're more aware of this as people are moved to generosity and joy. As those who follow Christ, our birthdays are not only measured in relation to Jesus' birth, but our lives are lived in the light of his life. Every act of kindness or compassion, each time we speak out for equality and justice, whenever we promote reconciliation and peace, and wherever we offer healing and hope, God is working through us. That is what the way that God works today. We are an incarnational people, each doing our small part to continue the work of Christ in this world. One of us may not make a huge difference, some do, but working together, each small act contributes to God's dream of a better world. What we do makes a difference to God and to the world. I'll never forget one very poignant example of this happening one Christmas many years ago in a church I worked at, which was an inner city church. And it was a very old church, and it had this big balcony, and under it were posts holding up the balcony with the very hard wooden pews. We had a fellow who would come to church very regularly. His name was Mark. I can still see where Mark sat under the balcony in front of one of those posts. Now, Mark would come in on Sunday, and he would look pretty ragged because he lived on the streets. And his hair was kind of matted and kind of Rastafarian, not because that's the style he chose, but because it never got washed. Mark didn't always smell great. And he was this giant, tall fellow, probably about 6'3", very, very skinny. The other thing with Mark is Mark had schizophrenia, and very rarely would Mark be medicated. So he would come to church, and we sit in front of that pole. But what was remarkable here was we had two ladies in our congregation. Both their names were Anne. Older ladies in our congregation, white hair, fairly small ladies with big hearts. And they loved Mark. So when Mark would come to church, they would wait for him. And every Sunday, when Mark sat down, they would kind of scoot in on the other side of Mark. And quite often, because Mark wasn't on medication, he would sometimes burst out in the service, yell something. And never quite clear what he was saying. But we could once in a while hear a spurt from Mark. And the two Anns, who were very close, would just calm him down, love him, and keep him calm. One year, though, in the middle of winter, when it was very, very cold, sometime around Christmas, I can't remember whether it was before or after Christmas, but Mark came into service, and he had no boots. He had on socks with bags, plastic bags, over his feet. And as usual, the two Anns slipped in beside Mark and noted that he was just wearing socks and plastic bags on this very, very cold day. Perhaps somebody had stolen them from him, or he had lost them, or he had traded them for food. Regardless, Mark was out without boots. So that day, immediately following the service, Anne told Mark to wait. And they ran across the street to the bay, and they each bought him a boot. And they brought him back, and they gave them to Mark. This is incarnation. This is Christ in the world caring for those who cannot care for themselves, giving without expecting anything in return because Mark had nothing to give. He may lose his boots again or give them away. He had nothing with which to repay these women. He did not have the means nor the capacity. That was not of any concern to Anne and Anne. They saw a need that they could meet, so they did something about it. And that's all any of us can do for the sake of Christ. This is the way of Christ in the world. This is the life we celebrate tonight, the one who has always been here, caring for the least and the lost and the lonely, bringing healing and hope. He has been doing this for 2,000 years and will continue to do so as long as we are willing to be Christ incarnate in the world, to open our hearts once again this Christmas for Christ to be born and revealed in us, to offer love in his name. Do we want this enough to let the baby be born in us once again tonight, to be open to the miracle of God working in us to change us and through us the world? Last Sunday evening, we had a candlelight communion service at the little church in DeWinton. And as the communion servers were serving the bread and the grape juice, there was one young fellow there who had come with his grandparents and didn't really know what communion was all about. So when it came for them to the communion service to pass the bread and the grape juice to him, he said, "No thanks, I'm not hungry." Perhaps that is our challenge today in Christianity and in the world. We're not hungry enough for what Christ offers us, teaches us, models for us. Because Jesus showed us a new way of being in the world, of participating in the healing and wholeness that we so desperately long for. He showed us by his life that love overcomes fear and that justice and compassion will be the instruments of peace in the world, not war and hatred. And by his death, he powerfully showed us that the greatest love is sacrificial in nature, giving without asking anything in return. As we come to this table tonight, are we hungry? Do we want what Christ offers, the knowledge and the power to overcome the darkness in the world? It will take many small acts and some great acts of generous and selfless love. It will require us opening our hearts to Christ once again, working in and through us. This is the way of incarnation, Christ at work to liberate and heal the world. This is the message of Christmas. Happy birthday, Jesus.